God, but they partook of the fruit that God told them not to. We don't know what that fruit was. It could be a fig. It could be a pomegranate. It could be whatever you can think of. We don't know what it is, but we do know this, that they were told not to partake of it. And when they did, the Bible says that all men have sinned. Because they disobeyed God, the Bible shares with us, for all men have sinned. And it shares with us in verse 15 that Christ says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between Eve and the woman, which is, and between thy seed and her seed. So we're talking about Satan and the woman's seed, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. The Holy Spirit, or the Lord Jesus Christ, will give a death blow to Satan. He's going to lose, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It's going to hurt. It's going to be painful, but he's not going to die of it. It's not going to be over. Death is going to die. That's the last thing to die. But Satan is going to be defeated. He's going to win. So we begin with Adam and Eve. And then from Adam and Eve, of course, they had Abel, Cain and Abel. Cain slew Abel, who was the faithful one. And so then we have Seth. Seth continues the line. From Seth, you have Noah. Noah, and because of Noah and his obedience and the fact that he walked with God, from Noah we had Shem, Ham, and Japheth, but only one, Shem, was faithful. Then it went to Abraham. And from Abraham, we have his son Isaac. And from Isaac, you have Jacob. And from Jacob, you have Judah. And from Judah, we have David. Now, we want to look in Genesis 49. Genesis chapter 49. Because in Genesis 49, we have a prophecy. In Genesis 49 and verse 8. Genesis 49, beginning at verse 8, the Word of God says this. And this is Israel blessing the 12 tribes. And we have verse 8, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. He is king. He is royalty in which the king will come. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion and as an old lion who shall rouse him up. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. So we have Judah, the scepter. In other words, he will always be king. He will always rule, and the king will come from the tribe of Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now, Shiloh is not a place. It is a person. It comes from the word peace, the Prince of Peace, the Messiah. Judah is going to bear the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Shiloh, referring to the Prince of Peace, referring to the Messiah, that he will come. Then in Daniel chapter 9, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 9, keeping your hand in Matthew 21 where you could stay, but in Daniel chapter 9, we find this. So the Messiah is coming through Judah, for the tribe of Judah, in Daniel chapter 9. And verse 24, we find this. It says here in verse 24 of Daniel chapter 9, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. So the Word of God is sharing with us through Daniel that there is going to be 70 weeks. These are called the 70 weeks of Daniel to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin. Isn't that important? to make an end of sin. That's what the 70 weeks of Daniel are. And we know that the book of Revelation is the 70th week of Daniel. And a week is seven, which is 7 years. So the first 3.5 years, then Satan is going to break the covenant with Israel. And then the last 3.5 years. And to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring an everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Now, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem, so from Babylon, remember the captivity of Israel, and in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 8, they began to rebuild Jerusalem all the way to the end of Malachi, onto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. And 62 weeks. 62 is 62 weeks and 7 weeks, which is 69. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. So we have, first of all, the 7 weeks, which is 49 years, which is to rebuild Jerusalem till the end of Malachi, to the end of Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament. Then we have 62 weeks is from the end of Malachi through the 400 years of silent years, known as silent years. That is 434 years from between the testaments to the triumphant entry of Christ. So you have, first of all, you have from the rebuilding of Jerusalem to the end of Malachi, which is 7 weeks, and then you have 62 weeks, which begins at the end of Malachi, all the way to the triumphant entry of Christ, which is known as Palm Sunday, from between the testaments to the triumphant entry. Scripture is fulfilled in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. So if you go to Zechariah Malachi, which is the second to last book in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. This is interesting to me. I hope you like history. Yeah, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it says this: Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey with steroids, and upon a colt, the foal of a donkey with steroids. That means a pretty big donkey. There you go. So it's sharing with us that he's going to return. He's going to come. He's going to be the triumphant entry of Christ. And it is fulfilled in Matthew 21, verse 5. So here we are. We're back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 21. And verse 5 says this, listen to this. Tell ye the daughters of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon a donkey with steroids, and a colt, the foal of a donkey with steroids. I don't like particularly saying that word. I'm just the way I was raised, I came up. There's just certain words that I rather avoid. So I call this a donkey with steroids. Yeah. Because it's a larger donkey, and the prophecy was fulfilled. Nearly 400 years before this happened, it was proclaimed in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Today, I want to look at contrast. Contrast. When we look at contrast, we almost think of like an oxymoron. You know, my favorite oxymoron is sweet potatoes. Because a sweet potato, in my mind, is not sweet. And it's not a potato. It's disgusting. Ugh, I don't like sweet potatoes. They're gross. So I call them an oxymoron tater. So we're going to look at contrast today. Contrast. Point number one is friendly, hostile environment. Friendly, hostile environment. You know, everyone who has a opinion of Christ, it's either friendly or hostile. You can't be in between. Either you reject him or you accept him. So when we look at this triumphant entry, we see a friendly, hostile environment. Look here in John chapter 11, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. In John chapter 11, it says this. John chapter 11 and verse 53. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. There was a friendly, hostile environment. There were some who trusted him. There are others who hated him. They did not appreciate him at all. Then John 12, verse 9 says this. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. So they didn't just come for the Passover. There are nearly 2 million people in town at this time because of the Passover. And there were some who hated him. And there were others who just came because they were enthroned. They were interested in being able to see him and to be able to see Lazarus. And to see that hey, possibly this is the one that will overthrow Rome. He will be our salvation to deliver us from Rome. But Jesus Christ, he wasn't coming for such a measly purpose. That was just something that will last for a while. The reason why he come was going to be everlasting. It was going to be forever. He was coming not as king to overthrow Rome, but he was coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was coming as the one to set us free, to give us eternal life, to set us free, because that's who he was. He was coming as servant. He was coming as savior. He was coming to die for the sins of the world. Not only when we look at friendly, hostile environment, but also look at John chapter 12, verse 10. It's the next verse. Got to find it. Lost my place. 12, verse 10. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Jesus, he just brought him back to life. But it was causing such a stir and such anger and such dispute that they thought, well, maybe if we put Lazarus to death again, it would just stop it all. That's what they wanted to do. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So you can see it was a friendly, hostile environment. And you know, we see that in the world today, don't we? We see individuals today who just plain reject the Savior, who say, I don't want anything to do with him. He's truly not the one who came to forgive us of our sin. They turn their back upon him. They reject him. I hope today, as we look at this contrast, that you're on the right side of the contrast, that you truly know him as your personal Savior, that you recognize him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, that you personally have come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Like Psalm 23, he is your shepherd. Because I can honestly say that the Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. There's a time in my life when I came to trust in him as a personal Savior. He is my shepherd. I don't refer to him, oh, he's somebody else's shepherd. He can be your shepherd. I refer to him as he is my shepherd. I can trust in him and know that he leads me and guides me along the way. As you look at this contrast during this triumphant entry, we find a friendly, hostile environment. But we also want to look at point number two, because we want to look at many few attendants. We look in Matthew chapter 21. And verse 11, it says this, and the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. So here we have a multitude of people that trusted him, but yet there were a few that decided to use the things of God as a means of wealth, as a means of gaining wealth. He stepped into the temple to overthrow the temple, to overthrow the tables, because there were individuals who were using this as a means for profit. What they would do is somebody would come in and say, okay, I brought a lamb. And what they would do is the prophets would come along and say, oh, that lamb's not good enough. It is faulty. So they take it away and they charge them double the amount for a lamb that's already there. Then they turn around and sell the previous lamb to somebody else. They were sightsters. You couldn't trust them. And that's why Jesus came in and overthrew the tables and said, why are you making this a time of profit when this is referring to the Sabbath, or excuse me, referring to the Passover and the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ? So not only do we see a friendly, hostile environment, but also many few attendants. Look in Luke chapter 19, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Because in Luke 19, we want to look at verse 36. I call this a Bible drill. It's good to have the books of the Bible memorized, because I go everywhere, I guess. Verse 36. Many few attendants. Verse 36 of Luke chapter 19. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come, nigh even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. So again, we have many few in attendance. There were many who worshiped and called out on his name, but there were a few that said unto him, Master, rebuke the disciples. So some, a few people rejected him, turned away from him, told him to rebuke his disciples. They were not interested in what God had to say, not interested in who the Savior was. So we have not only a friendly, hostile environment, but many few attendants. There are many who called out on his name. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But there are a few that were not happy. In Psalm 120, let me read that. Job, Psalm 120. In fact, you could read 120 all the way to 134. It all has similar statements. Psalm 120. I can find it here. Psalm 120. 119 is the longest one, but 120, very short. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty, with coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. So we have people for peace. We have people for war. We have a multitude many few attendants. People not interested in the things of God. So not only friendly, hostile attendants, environment, many few attendants, but how about this one? This is a theological word. Listen to this. Praising perturbed attitude. There were some who praised him, but others who were perturbed. Others who weren't interested, just turned their back. They were arrogant. They were hateful, not interested in what God had to say. So let's go to John chapter 12, verse 13. John 12 and verse 13 says, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, save us now. Save us now. There are people who were praising him, lifting up his name. Same thing in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 and verse 40. Luke 19 verse 40 says, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. There were some who were praising him. Others were perturbed. Luke 19, 37. Luke 19 and verse 37 says this. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that he had seen. There were some praising, others perturbed. Also, Isaiah 53, verse 3, remember that chapter? When it refers to the fact that Christ would be slain, that he would die for the sins of the world. There were people who rejected him. Isaiah 53. Ecclesiastic Song of Solomon, Isaiah. Isaiah, this is a well-known portion of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 53. How are we doing with time? Isaiah 53 shares with us here, beginning at verse 3 and following. It says this, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. A praising, perturbed attendance. People were perturbed at who he was, that he was the Savior of the world. I think Isaiah 53 is Israel looking back and saying, we rejected him. We turned our back upon him. We chose not to accept him. And they refused to believe. Then we also have Psalm 118, verse 25. Psalm 118. And verse 5, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. They called upon the name of the Lord, and Jesus Christ heard. Last of all, John chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And John chapter 1, verse 12 says this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. First of all, a friendly, hostile environment. Many few attendants and praising perturbed attitude. What a contrast. A contrast that we even see in the world today. Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 says this, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find a donkey on steroids, tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, the king cometh. Zechariah 9:9. Remember unto thee meek and sitting upon a colt and a foal of a donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and strewed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, save us now to the Son of David. Blessed is that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. That ends the 69 weeks of the book of Daniel, when the Messiah comes. In the Passover, remember the Passover when Noah was there with, or Moses, excuse me, can't get those messed up. When Moses came along, they told Israel on the 10th day of the first month of the year, they were to find and pick a lamb. Then, 4 days later, the lamb would be crucified. It would die for their sin, and they covered the doorpost. And the Lord said, I will pass over you when I see the blood. There was 4 days of observing. 4 days of observing that lamb to see if it was without blemish, to see that it was okay, to make sure it wasn't sick. And they had it in the house with them to observe it. Jesus, at the triumphal entry, began the observation. Oh, they tested him. They checked him out. They looked him over, and they declared that he should die. You see a contrast at the triumphal entry. There's a friendly, hostile environment. There's a many few in attendance and praising and a perturbed attitude. The question is, what type of attitude do you have on the Lamb of God, the triumphal entry, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the King of Kings. He comes from the tribe of Judah. He is the one that was proclaimed many years prior, the Messiah, the King of Kings, who would come and die for the sins of the world. Jesus Christ came as Savior. He came as a lamb. But you know, when he comes again, he's coming as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The question is, are you ready for that day? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God and how it all fits together. One ribbon, all the way from Genesis to Revelation, is focused on Jesus, the Son of God, who came to take away the sins of the world. Oh, we remember Palm Sunday. We remember the triumphal entry and how some people were perturbed, others rejoiced. Father, I pray that in our hearts we can rejoice on who Jesus is. And Father, I pray if there's one here that's not saved, that they'll trust in Christ and Christ alone before it's too late. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Kevin, you come and lead us in a closing hymn.
Please turn to hymn 162 for our closing. pulpit's open if you want to come up here and pray and then hang around after this. We're going to sing to Dana. So after this, we'll do verses 1, 2, and 4. 162? Uh-oh. Here we go. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The path of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. Verse 2. I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. On the last, my soul is sick. My heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. My strength renew. My hope restore. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming. Wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. Amen. Now, before we leave, before I dismiss in prayer, Dana, you got to pop your face on the screen here. There he is. Yeah. He thought he got away with it. Nope. So let's sing happy birthday to Dana, all right? Ready? All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dana. Happy birthday to you.